So I want to begin my sermon today by actually taking you back to last Sunday and share how God was truthful and true to the theme of the sermon, that God was faithful. The sermon, the official title of it, if you watch the live stream, was called Faithful Now. I will forever call it the Root Canal Sermon. So the punchline is this. 1 week ago by 3:15 last Sunday afternoon, I was in an endodontist chair getting an emergency root canal, 3:15. So here's some of the backstory. I had a crown done on one of my molars a few weeks back, and it was fine. And then it began to act up just a few days before last Sunday. So I bought some Sensodyne toothpaste. I'm like, I'm going to just brush my teeth a few times a day with Sensodyne. That'll do the trick. That did not do the trick. And so by Friday, I called my dentist, and of course, their office is closed on Fridays, because of course it would be, right? And so called the dentist, but I did call his emergency number, got his cell phone, and talked to him, and he prescribed an antibiotic and prescribed some Motrin and all that. I've shared, and again, we're a church, we love to pray for people, pray for healing. And our perspective is, hey, fire in every direction. We'll take healing however God wants to do it. And so do everything you can in the natural, and do everything you can in the supernatural. And so I shared how when I was preaching last Sunday, I said, this sermon is brought to you by 800 milligrams of Motrin, because I was taking that every few hours, and then the antibiotic is pretty heavy duty. So doing everything I could in the natural. And doing everything we can in the supernatural. Greg Gorchad laid hands on me and prayed. Other people laid hands on me and prayed. I was praying for myself that I'd be healed, right? Just so doing what we can in the supernatural as well. And so, 9:15 service, I knew like one thing that my dentist said was, hey, anything to take the edge off, room temperature water sometimes does the trick. And so I walked up and I think I had two or three water bottles. And during the 9:15 service, the first service, every, you know, a couple minutes or so, I have to take a quick sip of water and just do just a quick swish, and that would take the edge off of the pain. 9:15 service went pretty well. If you were here last week at 11 a.m. service, things went downhill pretty quickly, where I now started during the message, like, it's amazing, like, while you're preaching, like, if you could see the thought bubble above my head, it's going, wow, I'm in a lot of pain right now. Jesus, I need you to be faithful. And so I started as I was preaching, hold my water bottle. I'm just taking a sip like every minute, again, just to take the edge off of the pain. But God was faithful because I was able to get through both sermons. And at the time, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Okay, so I was able to preach both sermons. Little did I know just how much God was carrying me during those sermons. And I think that's true in life. God carries us a lot more than we realize. It's the footprints poem, right? It's like, hey, God, there's two sets of footprints, and then in the hardest times, God, there's only one set. You abandoned me, you left me. He goes, no. That was when I was carrying you, right? So God carries us a lot more than we realize. And so I didn't realize how bad things actually were while I was here 1 week ago preaching to y'all. But the bottom line is this, about an hour after I got home from church last Sunday afternoon, I began to basically need water in my mouth on a continual basis, which was kind of comical in hindsight, just trying to make that work. And then I vomited due to the pain. Just once, but it was enough. So my dentist called, and I didn't even know what an endodontist was until like a week ago. It's a new word. It's a root canal guy, right? And so my dentist called, this endodontist called in a personal favor, like they're not open on the weekend. The endodontist called me, then he had to get an assistant to come in because it's a two-person kind of procedure. And I am thankful for God's favor, like totally thankful for the favor of God. I don't know how I would have been able to last. I don't end up in the ER just getting a bunch of painkillers to get me through to Monday. And so they rearranged the schedule. It was just God granted me favor in their eyes. And so I took Monday. Monday is a Sabbath day to rest and to heal up. I was prescribed a steroid that I've been on all week and an antibiotic that's still working on. And so I've been in brain fog. Grace, may grace abound as I preach. I've not been firing on anywhere all of my cylinders as of late, but I am, and that's being said, counting my blessings big time, just counting my blessings and praising God for his faithfulness. So I very much am happy to be back and to have my water down here in case my mouth gets a little bit dry, but not because I'm in immense pain. God is good. So last week we launched a series, and the series was called Faithful Now, otherwise known as the Root Canal Sermon. And I shared how it's just a two-week series. It's a mini-series, 2 weeks long. So last week was the start of the series. This week is the conclusion of the series, because next Sunday starts the season on the church calendar around the globe, the season known as Advent. And Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of Christ. And more than ever, we need to prepare our hearts and minds for the hope that is in baby Jesus, right? God made flesh. We need to prepare our hearts and minds more than ever in our upside-down COVID world. And so next Sunday starts a brand new series on Advent, and I'm calling it Impossible Christmas. So please, again, grab those invite cards and invite your friends to join you at church starting next Sunday. So today it's the conclusion of a two-week series on the faithfulness of God, but even though it's 2 weeks long, I pray that this really does pack a big punch, that this isn't just 2 weeks and then we go on to the next series, but that this has impact far beyond the 2 weeks that it is, and that God uses it in big ways beyond just hearing the message, but how we put our faith in action. And so today's sermon is called Faith Works. Faith Works, and it's a play on words. There's not just a double meaning behind those words, there's actually a triple meaning to them, and I'm going to explain all three meanings as I preach. And as I begin, I want to ask a question, and if you haven't put your thinking caps on already, now it's time to put your thinking cap on, because I want to ask a question that might challenge you, might even shock you a bit, but here is the question. What do demons have in common with Christians? Now, you might have this like knee-jerk reaction and be like, nothing, nothing at all. I'm offended by even you asking that question. We don't have anything in common with demons. But the question is that actually true? So what do demons have in common with Christians? I want to answer that question by asking another question. And here's that question. Is faith just another way of saying belief? Does having faith simply mean that you believe the right things about God? Does having faith mean it'll start and stop with what you have in your head, in your mind, in your brain, between your ears? And I ask that question because in the American version of our faith, this oftentimes is what we tend to think, even if we don't realize it. That basically faith is just another way of saying belief. They're synonymous terms from our perspective. So faith starts and stops with thinking the right things, believing the right things. And so with that in mind, I want to share a verse from God's word, James 2:19. James says, you believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. So James, he starts off with a positive statement. Hey, it's good that you believe in the one true living God. And so don't hear me wrong, right? It's important to believe the right things about God. James is not making light of having sound doctrine. We need that. But James is showing us that accurate belief in the existence of God is not enough. He says, hey, even the demons believe that. So here's something to think about. There is not a demon in the universe that's an atheist. Every demon believes and knows that God is really real. They also had a front row seat at the crucifixion and the resurrection. That one threw them for a loop. Didn't see that one coming. But they believe it. They believe it happened. They saw it. But those beliefs do the demons obviously no good because their beliefs aren't put into the right actions. Their belief in the existence of God doesn't save them. Their belief in the fact that Jesus was crucified, died, and rose from the dead doesn't save them, right? So their beliefs in God do them no good. Instead, what their beliefs do is their beliefs make them react. And they make them react the same way that I react anytime Kelly tells me we have to do a fix-up project around the house and I have to go to Home Depot. Fear and trembling. You could say shudder. Walk in. Can I help you? Yeah, I need that thing to fix that thing and the, you know. Just being real. So James is saying, right, he's saying that it's great to believe in the God of the Bible, but that's not enough. That's what the demons do. But James is teaching an important truth, and it's a truth, again, we often miss in the American version of the Christian faith. James is saying that real faith is more than just mental assent to a list of doctrinal truths. It's more than that. It includes that, but it's more than that. Faith is more than just believing the right things about God, having a bunch of head knowledge about God. Belief, obviously, is one aspect of faith, and it's a very important part of it, but it's more. There's more to true faith. It's okay, the question is, okay, well then what is true faith? How would you define it? What is the biblical definition of faith? And in answering that question, there are a number of ways that scholars and theologians look to in answering or determining the meaning of the words that are in Scripture. And one of the things that scholars and theologians use is called the principle of first mention. This is a very important principle when it comes to biblical interpretation, Bible college, and seminary and stuff. They teach you this, but here is it boiled down. Principle of first mention. Here's what it means. If you want to understand a certain word or a concept, you go to the first occurrence of the word in the Bible to get the basic meaning of the term. That first occurrence influences every other time the word appears in the Scriptures. Again, the first time you go back to where it shows up for the first time. And so if you want to understand, okay, what does the word faith mean? When Jesus talked about faith, what did he mean by that? When Paul or James wrote about faith, what did they mean by what they wrote about when they mentioned the word faith? So you use the principle of first mention. You go to the first occurrence of where that word appears in the Bible to get the basic meaning of the term, which then influences every other time that you read that. And so the question, it's an obvious question, then okay, where does it show up? Where is the first occurrence of the word faith in the Bible? Now, the answer might surprise you, not on where it's found, but in how it is used. Right? The concept of faith is obviously a key aspect of our spiritual journey, right? We're saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, right? We can't work our way to heaven. So the concept of faith is obviously a key aspect of our spiritual journey. So it won't surprise you to learn that the first time the word faith appears in the Scriptures is just a few dozen pages into God's word. The Hebrew word, and again, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. We use English translations like the NIV, the ESV, the NLT, other Bible translations. They're all English translations of the Hebrew and the Greek. The Hebrew word for faith first appears in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And so that's where we're going to be today. That's my key text, chapter 17 of the book of Exodus. I want to set the stage before I read the verses to you. To set the stage for the story, the Hebrew people, they were just set free from being slaves in Egypt. But no sooner are they set free than they run into another enemy. So chapter 17 records this battle between the Hebrew people and the Amalekites. And we pick things up in verse 8 of the chapter 17 of Exodus. It says, the Amalekites came and they attacked the Israelites. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men to go out and fight the Amalekites. And tomorrow I'm going to stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, and then there's two guys named Aaron and Hur. They went up to the top of the hill as well. And here's the key verse. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Now, this is one of those supernatural stories of Scripture where the battle is not won or lost due to the strength of the armies, but instead, everything hinges, the outcome of the battle hinges on where Moses' arms are as he's holding the staff, whether they're raised or lowered. And again, as American Christians, that sounds crazy to us, right? But I think the reason why it sounds so odd to us is evidence of how non-supernatural we tend to live out our faith. It really is. The passage says, right, when Moses held up his hands toward heaven, the Israelites are winning the battle. Whenever his arms grow weary, they begin to drop, the tide turns, and the Amalekites begin to win the battle. Now, the Bible doesn't explain why. I would love, it's like, man, it would be great, Holy Spirit, if you were to inspire Moses, just write a few more chapters at the mechanics of how this worked, but that's not in there. We just know that it happened. And because I believe in the supernatural, I believe the story. I believe this is how it actually happened. This is history. This is the way it was. If we could hop back in time and see the events, the way it says it happened is the way it happened. The Bible's a history book. And so there are these two men named Aaron and Hur, and they realize, they see what's going on. They realize what's happening. They notice, hey, when Moses' arms are up, the good guys are winning. When Moses' arms go down, the bad guys are winning. And so instead of focusing on the weirdness of the events, they do something about it. This is the key anchor passage. Verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on the one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. Now, again, this passage was originally written in the Hebrew language, and this verse is actually where the word faith first appears in the biblical text. It's translated in the NIV translation as the word steady. As the word steady. So this verse says, in this English translation, so his hands remained steady until sunset. But other Bible translations translate it, so that his hands remained faithful. So his hands remained faithful until sunset. And that points out something that's important. When you go back again to Hebrew, each word is actually a family of words that are all linked together. And so the Hebrew words for faith and faithful and faithfulness are all interconnected. They're all actually part of the same root word. They're tied together. And so a way to think of it is faith, right? It begins in your head. It begins with what you believe in. And then, hopefully, what goes in, it's like the longest 12 inches of humanity is from your head to your heart, right? Head to your heart, and then as your heart gets transformed, goes out to your hands. You put into action what you believe. So faith starts with what you believe in, and then action ought to always follow your beliefs. And so again, going back to this principle of first mention, the first time the word faith appears in the Bible drives the meaning throughout the rest of God's word. And it shows something important. It shows you that your faith is ultimately revealed by your actions and not ultimately by your words or even by what you claim to believe or even what you think you actually believe. See, we can think we believe a whole bunch of stuff, but our actions actually prove it out. Going back to the Bible story that I shared today, right? This is important to think about. Aaron and Hur, they did not just use words and say, hey, Moses, I have a tip for you. It'd be really good if you kept your arms up. They also did not just believe in their minds that his arms should be raised. Instead, they acted. The passage says they held his hands up, one on the one side, one on the other, so that his hands remain steady until sunset. So here's a key thought, word picture. When you think of what faith is, picture arms raised in the air and remaining steady, in other words, remaining faithful, for hours on end. That's a great word picture to keep in mind when we think about what faith is. And note, there's a duration there. It's not like, hey, we're going to hold your arms up for 45 seconds and I'm done. I'm going to go back on Facebook. No, we're going to hold your arms up and we're going to be here with you and we're going to journey with you. We're in community together. And God's going to move. God's going to honor what we're doing. And he's going to move mountains. So when you think of faith, again, that's a great word picture. When you think of what faith is, picture arms raised in the air, remaining steady, in other words, faithful for hours on end. In other words, right, faith works. In other words, true faith is a faith that works, that is faith in action. That's why James wrote this to the early church in the 14th verse. He says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? And then going down to the 26th verse, he says, this is so powerful. So he says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. And so with that in mind, I want to give you an action step that is an overarching action step that we're going to apply in a few different ways. If faith works, the natural question is, okay, well then, how do you do it? How does your faith need to work? And this, many times, as I was praying into this message and doing my prep, I felt this check in me from the Holy Spirit, where many times, I think this is where pastors fail, preachers, and I'm part of who I'm talking to here. I'm holding the mirror up as I'm challenging other pastors and teachers. Because many times when pastors talk about putting your faith in action, when pastors talk about using your spiritual gifts, what we often do is focus exclusively on Sunday mornings, focusing on making church happen. And by the way, do not hear me wrong, right? We need volunteers to help make church happen. Church would not happen today, would not have happened without an army of volunteers making it happen. But many times pastors can miss the mark because what you can hear unintentionally is that putting your faith in action starts and stops with volunteering on a Sunday morning. And it's simply not true. Now, here's what is true. We would love, and my challenge to every single person here, those who are watching on the live stream as well, we love every single person who calls this their church home to have skin in the game and to volunteer to make it a reality, to volunteer in a Sunday morning volunteer team. And so that's why on the back of your Connect card, every single week, there's this box on the backside. I'd like to volunteer in, and we invite people. Check one of those boxes. Check a few of them. This isn't a 10-year blood covenant. It's just to start a conversation, to try out a team. And we want people to pick one of these teams. We'll help you with that and volunteer at one service once a month. That's our invitation. Some people choose to do more than that, and we're thankful for it, but we're asking just one-on-one, but to do something to help make church happen. So we love every person who calls their church home to volunteer on a Sunday morning volunteer team, and we love every single person to put their faith in action beyond Sunday mornings. So this is not an either or, this is a both and. We love you to put your faith to work within the walls of the church on a Sunday morning. We'd love to have you put your faith to work beyond Sunday mornings as well. And as our world continues to feel like it's spinning out of control, by the way, it's not spinning out of control. God is sovereign. Jesus is still king. Don't forget that. If I was in your seat, I would have said amen. Thank you. I'm like, I need an amen right now. We need an amen right now. As the world continues to feel like it's spinning out of control, it's actually not. But as it continues to feel like it's spinning out of control, we need a deeper faith for our lives to work. More than ever, our faith matters. I cannot imagine trying to live my life right now without my faith in Jesus. I can't. I mean, we can come on a Sunday morning, and if you're a believer, you can sing My Living Hope, and you can mean it, and you can believe it. And if you're a Christian, you know that, man, this isn't it. And we're not alone. And when we die, there's heaven. And between now and heaven, there's the Holy Spirit who wants to fill us and empower us to make God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as is in heaven. There's a God who's real. There's a Jesus who really conquered the grave. And so more than ever, right, I cannot imagine like being a like atheist, agnostic, with, I mean, oh my gosh. By the way, if you're not sure where you are with God, I'd love to pray with you. I would love to help you get in a right relationship with God. Member of our prayer team after church, we'd love to pray with you. If you feel like you have no hope. I mean, start off as a Christian with God in our lives, right? Man. So, the first meaning of my sermon title is we need a deeper faith for our lives to work. But in addition to that, true faith is more than just believing the right things. Again, James says, you believe there's one God. That's great. But even the demons believe that. So we need to go kind of beyond that. So while believing the right things is critical, true faith is actually more than just a set of beliefs that you sign off on a statement of faith. True faith results in action. Starts in your head, hits your heart, goes out through your hands. In other words, faith works. So that's the second meaning. And now I have a third meaning of my sermon title that I'm really excited about because this part I'm not going to do by myself. We're super excited because there's a new partnership. Bill, why don't you start making your way up here with an organization that we want to introduce you to this morning. And it's a partnership with this organization that's actually being birthed like right now. And it's a partnership with an organization, and they are called Faith Works. Pretty cool. That's the third meaning of the title. So would you welcome Bill Pinho? There you go, Bill.
Thanks, Dan.
Awesome. All right, so Bill, I've known Bill and Sue for like over 20 years ago from my time at Kensington back when I was on staff there. And so having a conversation with Bill, why don't you step forward just a little bit, and we'll be on the other side of this. And just tell me a little bit about, since I know you, but they don't, tell me a bit about who you are.
Hi, my name is Bill. I'm a ultrasound technician by training. My wife, Sue Ann, and I, we have 4 children who are adults and 14 grandchildren. And we're just so blessed, and God's faithfulness has just been proven throughout our whole lives.
All right, so Bill, right, he has a 9-to-5 job, he's a dad, he's a grandparent, you got kind of a full plate, but you do more than just work at your job and be an awesome husband and dad and grandparent. There's this thing called Faith Works that you helped found. Can you tell us a little bit about why or how Faith Works started?
Sure. I was part of a men's Bible study, and one of the studies we did, this was back in 2008-09, was a Bible study called The Truth Project by James Dobson, and I recommend anybody to do it. It really is impactful and was impactful. The last video, or the last, there were 12 videos, and the last one was called If God Cares, Why Don't We? And after watching that, the guys we were just really touched. We felt we were good men. We tried to be faithful husbands and great leaders in our community, but we really weren't doing very much. And we decided to pray and see where God led us. And about 2 weeks later at Kensington, I was walking through the church after a service. They were having what they call a community fair where people can join in other communities. They had people who like to hunt and fish, or people who like to ride motorcycles, ladies who like to do crafts. And one of them was a thing that said widows, and there were two younger ladies in their 40s, and I went up to them and said, what do you guys do for the widows? And they said, we are the widows. And oh my gosh, it just broke my heart. And they had organized the widows to pour into their lives and to get through their grieving. We offered to, our guys are pretty handy, and we offered to be able to work with them to fix their leaky faucets or repair their electricity or do their drywall or paint a room for them. They invited us to the widows group, and God showed up immensely. Kensington did a video on us a few months later, and all of a sudden we had 40 volunteers with who are who are really talented.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so, so you mentioned you help out the widows. Is that who you help out?
No,
and then what are some things you do? And while you're talking, there's some pictures that'll be scrolling behind with your team.
Oh,
but
man.
just share a bit about who you serve and what you do.
Well, we started with widows, and then people would come to us. They heard about us, and they would say, we started helping the elderly and the handicapped, single moms. Boy, they really have a hard time. And also veterans. Boy, there's just an amazing amount of veterans down on their luck. So we started doing that. We do all the work for the city of Rochester Hills for through OPC and through Neighborhood House. We do work with Love Inc. and with Easter Seals. People hear of us, and we if I were in control of this, we'd be in trouble. We know that God's in control, and yeah. He just keeps bringing people like Vonnie here, who's a member of your church, and we were able to bless her and help her out, and that's how we got reconnected with Dan.
Yeah, so there's Vonnie. Could you wave real quick? So Vonnie Davey, a key member of our church family. This is how awesome God is, right? I don't even know how the connection happened, but we found out through the proverbial grapevine that Faith Works organization is blessing Vonnie. So all the pictures that you saw there was her place, and just God moved mountain after mountain after mountain. And so they were doing that not because they had a connection with our church, but it was simply to be the hands and feet of Jesus to somebody who needed someone to be the hands and feet of Jesus to them. And so Vonnie right there was blessed and continues to be blessed by Faith Works. And so that's awesome. And so, and we're like, hey, it'd be cool to celebrate that and to invite other people to help. And so when it comes to volunteering, I see like you guys are like pouring cement and like building ramps. How about someone like me who shudders when he goes to Home Depot?
Well, you can't be any worse than me, because when I show up at the job, the joke is that I set it back 2 hours. So actually, that's the idea, is we want people just to volunteer, people with willing hearts, servants, yeah. And just to show up. There's always something that needs to be done, and I think Vonnie can attest. There were young gentlemen from Rochester College who really don't have any experience, but they have strong backs. We're able to do the work of that older guys like us can't do anymore.
That's awesome. So all skill levels. It's really just it's time and a willing heart to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Bill shared as we were talking earlier. We say, you know, Jesus Christ Himself, He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And we are called to be like Christ, right? And so this is, again, it's an opportunity for you to consider. Bill, there's a table in the lobby as you walked in where you can talk to him, talk to Sue, learn more about Faith Works after church. But so that's something, again, to pray into and to consider. But before Bill heads back to his seat, I want to keep him up here to share a bit just about something that God laid on our hearts as a Compassion Task Force. So our church, we launched 10 years ago, and from day one, we have done something called Tithe on Our Tithe, where as a church, we give away the first 10% of what y'all give to the mission. And so when you give your tithes and offerings, whether you place them in the orange buckets, or you give online, or you mail in a check, right, we then tithe on that, and we help out in very specific ways to individuals, to families, often that are under the radar of what's going on. And the phrase we love to use is help those who need help. That's what we want to do. We want to help those who need help. And as a church, again, from the founding of it 10 years ago, we want to, again, give beyond the walls of the church, tithe on our tithe, whether we're ahead in our budget, whether we're behind our budget, doesn't matter, because a tithe is your first fruits by definition. And so I have shared this a number of times since COVID has rocked our world. This is a time, a unique time in the history of the church for the church to shine like never before. This is an opportunity for the church to give hope to those who are filled with fear. This is a time for the church to show the way of generosity to those who are feeling compelled to hoard. This is a time to make Jesus known of people who maybe had their hearts closed to him before, but now they're like, man, what's going on in this world? And this is an opportunity to make Jesus known to people who have been maybe turned off from the church or have given up on God at some point. And so we have something called a compassion task force. Brad Stahl, who's on staff, oversees it. Greg Gortat in our second role, he's part of the task force. There's a half dozen other people who are on the task force, and they oversee the allocation of the tithe on tithe dollars. And as we talked about, we say, you know what, it'd be great to support Faith Works, to pay it forward. Again, for how you blessed a key member of our church family in Vonnie, to pay that forward so that you can bless other people who are in need. And so what was really cool was at the first service, I had the privilege and honor to present Bill a check for $2,000 of tithe on tithe money, which is awesome. Which is awesome. Here's what y'all get because you're at the 11 a.m. service. Bill asked me, he goes, hey man, so like, do you want me to give the check back to you so that I can re-present it? Which is, again, something you gotta do, multiple services. And I'm like, no man, please hold on to it. Because we had the idea of also giving you, for the 11 a.m. service, a check for $2,000 to go to Faith Works. So $4,000. Come on. We got you.
You guys, you don't know how amazing. I mean, just to let you know, this will double my salary. No, actually, Faith Works, no one gets paid. Every penny goes to other people. We've been doing this for 10 years. You talk about being steady. That's what we are. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be on a Zoom call because we can't meet with COVID. But we are so grateful to you. And Dan, this is fantastic. Vonnie, we're so glad we blessed you. I understand you're an amazing servant. And this is Faith Works. You've been working your faith, and now it's come back and blessed you.
Awesome.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much, Dan.
You're welcome, Bill. Absolutely, man. Thank you. Yeah, so again, Bill will be at his table in the lobby. And so we actually had a conversation. We're like, well, we'd love to get them $4,000. And so I actually thought through, okay, so how do I do it? To get the $4,000 check and have it back? And I'm like, nah, I got a better idea. I think the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to just do that. And so again, the reason why we're able to give checks like that to awesome organizations like that is because of your generosity. Generosity begets generosity. It's a kingdom. Kingdom of God in action. All right, so hey, before I end today, which we are over time, oh boy, in Jesus' name, it's okay. I do want to share what, this is an accordion, it's been expanding. That's okay though. There's one more thing that I wanted to share, and this is for every single person. This is where I'd love everyone to take out their connection card. And I know some of you, you know, like too cool for school and you never raised your hand in school and the teacher wants someone to call on them. Well, I don't even know where my connection card, I think, I don't know who took it. Greg, could I have yours? Sorry. I got a bunch of paper up here. Greg doesn't have it. All right, so there's this thing called the connection card. Thank you, Cheryl. Awesome. Thank you. Got lots of, like, this is my stand. There's lots of paper up here. Well, love for you, everyone to do, honestly, is to hopefully you find your connection card. It's not hidden somewhere. But I'd love for you to turn it over, and we have a slide on the screen. And on the back side, again, there's additional lines for prayer requests. I'd love to have you, like, the bottom two or three lines. We'd love to have you share this information with us. And again, this is, I love everyone, like, pens, and you're, like, writing this down right now. Because we have shared, God has laid on our hearts as a church that we're in a season, Isaiah 43, God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? And many times we don't perceive it because we're not focused on God. And so a new thing that we are in, what we're calling the information gathering stages right now, is to better understand who God is bringing to the mission, both on Sundays as well as those who are live streaming. And we would love to know, again, how has God wired you up? What are you passionate about? What, maybe you have some education beyond high school. Maybe it's a skilled trade. Maybe it's a degree. What degree do you have? What skills and abilities? And don't like hyper-spiritualize this. This is, what are the things, how has God made you? And we want this information because we'd love to better understand who is God bringing to our church, right? Moses had a staff in his hand. That's what he had in his hand, and God used it to defeat an army. God used it to part the Red Sea. What's in your hand? And I felt like God's been asking us, what's in your hand? In other words, who is God bringing to the church so that we can better, so we know better who is here and what skills and abilities and passions you have, so that we can better understand what might God be calling us to do with what's in our hand? How can we connect people who maybe are in the sanctuary, but you don't even know, you guys share the same passion, you have the same burden for something. And so we'd love for you to fill this out, again, on your connection card, just in bullet points, but to do that. So here's some examples, right? If you are an accountant, if you work in the banking industry, we'd love to know that. Maybe you have a passion for interior decorating. We'd love to know. If you're a handy woman or a handy man, we'd love to know. If maybe you're a poet or an artist, we'd love to know. Maybe you have a background in like marketing or something, we'd love to know. If you have a passion for special needs children, we'd love to know. If you're in law enforcement, we'd love to know. If you're in sales, we'd love to know. If you have a passion for those who are under-resourced, we'd love to know. And on and on and on. So again, we'd love to have you, everyone, participate to fill this out again on the back of your card, the bottom few lines. It's a new thing that we're leaning into to see, okay, God, who are you bringing to the church? How has God wired them up, and how might that impact what we do as a church family? So please do that. And again, you put your card in the offering pouch on your way out. Let me end by this. God is faithful. That's what the series is all about. It's about the faithfulness of God. And as our world continues to feel like it's spinning out of control, we need to remember that God is faithful. But we need to do more than just remember what God did. We need to look to the future at what God is going to do. And as we think about that, as we think about what God is going to do, we need to think in terms of not just what God is going to do, but what is God going to do through us? What is God going to do through us by the power of the Holy Spirit? Because the truth is, each of us has a critical role to play in God's story. And we need more than ever to embrace our identity as sons and daughters of King Jesus, our living hope. We need to embrace our identity as sons and daughters of the King, who are called not just to believe a bunch of stuff, but to take those beliefs, those right beliefs, have them penetrate our heart so that we will turn our beliefs into action. That's what true faith is. True faith is a faith that works. Amen? Amen. Amen.